Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mishulu, and I'll be your guide to the macabre and mysterious. You should always be careful of love at first sight. Our young swimmer learns this lesson in Undercurrent. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. It is just after midnight in Miami. The ocean is writhing while lightning scrawls inhuman text across the sky in strange patterns. Rain pelts two officers as they look over a woman lying unconscious at the end of a dock. She is young and wearing a bikini. She is unresponsive. One cop is crouched down, checking for life signs, while the other stands trying to shield the woman from the rain. It's a cold, unnerving rain that seems malicious as it pummels them. The woman has a faint heartbeat and is breathing. There are bruises on her wrists, upper arms, and ankles. Her head has been shaved, and it appears that she has had surgery recently. "Why is she out in this mess?" the standing officer asks. "I have no idea. She's dressed like she spent the day at the beach. Her head is stitched all the way around like she just had surgery, and these bruises on her wrists and ankles seem to tell me she's been tortured." "None of it makes sense," the second officer replies. "Where the hell is that ambulance? We need to get off this dock and out of this storm." "Can we move her?" asks the standing officer. "No, we could make things worse. The backup will be here soon. Hold on, kid." A few days earlier, Cindy was swimming off the Miami coast early in the morning when she saw a huge, beautiful fin break the water and then disappear again. She felt compelled to swim out to see if she could catch another glimpse. Something called to her like a song on the wind. As she swam out, she saw the multicolored fin reach out of the waves, and then, not 3 seconds later, she saw a woman bobbing up and down in the water, watching her swim closer. The woman disappeared, and the fin came up out of the water a second later, and that's when Cindy realized that this was a mermaid. The mermaid was beautiful. Her skin was light blue with a few opal-colored scales. Her hair was long and black with seashells in her braids. Her eyes were larger than a human's and deep glossy black, giving her an alien appearance. Her lips were dark blue, full and inviting. Cindy stopped swimming when she was 10 feet from the creature. The mermaid smiled at her and dove back into the water. Cindy marveled at all the blues, violets, and reds in her scales. It was the most amazing thing she had ever seen. Then, like a flash, the mermaid appeared right in front of her. Cindy couldn't help herself. She wrapped her arms around her and gave the mermaid a deep, long kiss. They sank into the water in a loving embrace. When the kiss ended, Cindy noticed that the mermaid had gills on the side of her neck. And it was at this point she realized that she was far underwater and that she needed air. She panicked and tried to swim to the surface. The mermaid smiled, drawing her close, and kissed her again. Cindy felt her lungs fill with air and she calmed down. They sank deeper into the ocean. Cindy wondered why the pressure wasn't affecting her, and that if the mermaid kept kissing her, she could breathe somehow. She wanted to kiss forever. Her emotions were all over the place. Could she really be here? Was this happening, or is she asleep on the beach dreaming and getting a sunburn? The kissing was making her lightheaded, and she thought about how much she wanted sex right that second, ignoring the fact that she was several hundred feet under the water and that her new love interest had a 6-foot-long fishtail. Cindy felt blissful, and at that moment, nothing seemed to matter. Then the kissing stopped, and Cindy opened her eyes and looked up. She couldn't see the surface. It was almost pitch black except for the mermaid's scales, which were lit up like Christmas lights. The scales on her face were also glowing. Cindy didn't feel like she needed air anymore. It was cold and dark, but Cindy was high on endorphins and didn't care about anything but being near the mermaid. "Are you okay?" asked the mermaid sweetly. The words appeared in Cindy's head with a short, stabbing pain. She grabbed her head. "Oh, don't worry. The more you speak with me, the less it will hurt." "How can I hear you?" Cindy asked. "Now that we have bonded, I can speak to you telepathically, keep you from drowning or being crushed by the deep sea. Our minds and bodies are connected." "Does this make me a mermaid too?" Cindy asked innocently. The mermaid laughed and large bubbles escaped her neck gills. "No, you're not a mermaid. I had forgotten that's what humans called us. It's been literally ages since I spoke to one. I will say, I've always wondered what it would be like to walk on land like you. It seems fun. It's great, running, jumping, walking barefoot through the grass. though I guess I never thought about how great it was before now. I bet it's incredible having a tail like that, though, Cindy quickly said. She didn't want to make it sound like she was bragging about her legs. The water is my home. Like your legs, it gets me where I want to go, and yes, there are some fun things I can do down here. But beyond just your legs, there are many things I see humans create that seem fun. You have so many strange devices, and over the centuries, your boats have changed greatly. It's all very impressive. What devices? Cindy asked. Cars, toys for children, TV, the list goes on and on. I don't know what every item is called. Humans dump everything in the sea. Unfortunately, not every item is good, but they're all interesting. Sometimes these huge orange containers fall into the ocean. Those are fun days, she said, and then lowered her voice. I will say we do know what plastic is, and we hate it. Yeah, plastic is a problem. Wait, how can you understand what I'm saying? Cindy inquired. Like I said, our minds are connected. The longer you're with me, the more I learn. Also, I've met many sailors in my time. They all talked to me before the ocean claimed them as tribute. I've learned a lot over the years. Tribute? Oh, it's not important, the mermaid replied quickly. Cindy started to notice that she was swimming easily as they descended further into darkness. In fact, they had been moving for a while at this point, but she wasn't tired or hungry. She was using the mermaid's glowing scales as her guide. No one was going to believe this when she got back on land. How old are you? I don't know how many years I've been alive. I remember when humans started to go out on the water with their tiny ships. My sisters and I would sing to them as their boats passed. Sometimes they would try to come to us, but they always seemed to crash into the rocks and start to drown. We ate well in those days. That's terrible. Couldn't you save any of them? Wait, ate well? Yes, humans taste quite good. What? Cindy yelled in her mind. I'm joking. Of course we saved them, the mermaid assured Cindy, who was back in panic mode. Oh, okay. That's good. Cindy's nerves began to calm. She wasn't sure how long they had been underwater. Hours? Days? When they passed through a giant archway into a cavern, the darkness gave way to a city under the sea that was lit by huge glowing cyclopean towers stretching from the bottom of the cavern floor almost to the ceiling. There were tens of thousands of merpeople swimming between these towers with fish of every type. Cindy felt drunk with wonder. What is this place? She asked. My home, my people. Is this Atlantis? Oh no, dear. That's in the middle of the Atlantic. It was a human city that was swallowed by the waves because they didn't pay tribute to the sea. I was there when it happened. My fellow priestesses and I performed the rites for our god to bring Atlantis beneath the waves. That's terrible! How could you kill all those people? Cindy once again grew nervous. Relax, silly. I'm joking again. You are easily baited. That's a dangerous thing down here, young one. Sometimes it's hard to tell when you are. If this is not Atlantis, what's your city's name? Brulé. That's a strange name. Cindy's head hurt hearing it. I guess to you, yes, but to be fair, Miami is a strange name to me. Then the mermaid's mind blurted out excitedly, Oh, jet skis! I can't wait to try jet skis! How can you ride jet skis? I can't. That was one of your many stray thoughts bleeding through. You've never ridden a jet ski, but want to, right? The mermaid replied. Right. That's weird, you being in my head. The mermaid pulled her close and gave her a long, deep kiss. Cindy felt her toes curl and her concerns melt away. Then the mermaid continued, Our god lives under the city, sleeping until the stars are right for his return. Does your god have a name? Inquired Cindy. Yes, but it cannot be pronounced correctly by humans. Oh, look, I've really enjoyed all this, but I think I should be getting back home. It feels like I've been down here a while. Soon enough, I want you to meet my family. They swam through the city with all the other residents gliding by them. Cindy noticed that though her mermaid was beautiful, the rest were not. In fact, some looked like terrifying fish people from that old black and white movie. What was that called? She thought. She couldn't explain it, but she was scared and at the same time unable to say no to the mermaid. She wondered if this joined brain thing went only one way. She couldn't hear the mermaid's thoughts. Her mind tried hard to break through the euphoria that kept rising to make her not question anything. Here we are, home sweet home. That's the saying, right? Cindy looked up at the malformed black stone tower looming above her, and her mind finally thought clearly. She had been taken to the very bottom of the cavern floor, deep in the sea. The entryway was a hole lined with coral and what looked like bones, human bones. Beyond the threshold was more darkness. Everything suddenly felt sinister, and she knew she was in trouble. Without hesitation, Cindy turned and started swimming as fast as she could toward the arch that they entered through. The mermaid watched this reaction with amusement. Cindy suddenly started to drown and grabbed her throat, trying to breathe. Her muscles felt like lead. She couldn't swim and started to sink to the cavern floor. The nearby fish and humanoid abomination started to circle her, looking as if they might eat her. The pressure of the immense depth started to clamp down on her as well. Within a second, the mermaid came up behind her and took Cindy's hand. "Foolish minnow, you are miles from the surface. You must stay with me, or the pressure down here will kill you." "I'm keeping you alive," she said, like a cat to a mouse. I don't want to go into that building. I just want to go home. Please, take me home, please. This was a mistake. Please, let me go home." Cindy's mind was boiling with chaotic thoughts of what this all really meant. "No," the mermaid replied flatly. "But why? I've never done anything to you. I thought you liked me. We kissed, we bonded, it all felt magical. Why am I here?" "It was magical. Magic is why I can read your thoughts. It's how I help you breathe and keep you from being crushed. But it doesn't have anything to do with love or romance or even some animated movie you watched as a kid. Mermaids hunt with magic. We call you with our song and glamored beauty, and you can't resist. I've killed and eaten millions of your kind over the past 10,000 years. It's been amazing." "No, God, no, don't eat me, please. I'll do anything. I want to see my mom and dad. Let me go. Let me get out of here." Cindy was hysterical. "I'm not going to eat you. Why bring you all the way down here just for that? Besides, I like eating in the sun." "No. You are here for an important purpose, and then home we go, I promise. But we have to go into the temple before that happens. You have such beautiful skin. I would hate for my family to have to drag you in there. Why not make things easy for yourself and go on your own? Either way, this is happening." The mermaid's voice had changed to someone who had dropped the facade because they held all the cards. Cindy's tears streamed from her eyes into the ocean surrounding her. She thought about her family, her dad and mom. She was only 2 years into college. She thought about the girl in her art class that she liked. Her whole life was in front of her, and now, likely behind her at the same time. She had been enticed by this creature, this thing, this monster. She got turned on by something that couldn't even have sex with her if it wanted to. The mermaid looked horrible now. All the glamour was gone, and they all looked like fish people hybrids with soulless eyes, sharp rust-colored teeth, and putrid green scales. They chortled to one another in sickening tones. It took Cindy's arm and pulled her into the tower. The two entered a large chamber with a table in the center and all these eldritch machines circling it. They were followed by others who began to work on these machines. Cindy felt hungover as reality took over. She started to wail incoherently as they strapped her to the table. The creature hovered over her as she pulled against her restraints. It was holding an alien device made of pure nightmares. Cindy screamed one last time until the creature tore her brain out and fed it to the other fish people waiting nearby. Cindy was no more. The mermaid transferred her own brain into Cindy's empty skull. It attached itself to the spinal column and reattached the bone and scalp that had been removed using small tentacles that protruded out. The others stitched up her head. She knew everything Cindy did. She now had human parents, human understanding, and access to the world beyond the ocean. All the planning, the years of failed attempts and missed opportunities meant nothing. It was all worth it. She was now human. She was Cindy, but better. Her mermaid brain would keep her alive on land until the stars were right and she could free her god from his prison. "Take me to the surface now," the former mermaid commanded the others. They had finished Cindy's discarded brain and now eyed the mermaid's discarded body. She noticed this. "You can eat it after I'm gone. I have no use for it anymore." Hours later, she woke up with EMTs and police officers trying to move her onto a gurney. She was on a dock with a storm raging all around her. "She's waking up. Stay still. We're going to get you to the hospital," one of the EMTs says. She is still dazed by the spell that teleported her here. "Everything is going to be okay. Can you tell me your name?" "Cindy." Now that's a piece of tale you should pass on. Do you believe in love at first sight? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.